Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the HP Podcast, your weekly video game podcast from HandsomePhantom.com. I'm Ben, and with me here today is Brandon. Hello, Brandon. What's going on? Welcome to the club. How many more introductions can I give you? What's up, dude?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Me too. Doing pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a wonderful Tuesday. And I got a nice iced tea by my side that I'm pacing myself because I don't know about you guys, but when I have a drink, I usually just keep drinking it and keep drinking it. That's why I can't get these like big gulps and shit, because I will just devour.
Yeah.
And then I will be in absolute pain mid-show.
Looks like some homemade iced tea you got going on over there, too.
No.
You just put it in the Dunkin' cup, I'm sure.
Yeah, just for the feel.
Yeah.
No, but it's definitely Dunkin' Donuts. I had a hankering when I left the house. I said, I'm going to get me some iced tea.
Is it sweet tea? Is it just iced tea?
It is just normal iced tea.
Yeah.
For Splenda.
Okay.
That's just how I do it.
Why wouldn't you just get sweet tea then?
Because I didn't want the sugar.
Okay.
Do you drink diet soda, Ben?
Very rarely. I'm drinking one right now because it was what was available to me.
Okay, well,
I
know everybody poo-poos on the diet
probably
soda.
Probably 96% of the time, I drink water or coffee.
Well, whatever, Mr. Fish. Just drinking all your goddamn water.
Do fish drink water?
I mean, they fucking it. I know that.
Dave, what's your opinion on water and fish? I need to know, David.
Water and fish are...
That's just a way to introduce you.
Fine. Are you guys noticing that the diet stuff is slowly seems to be disappearing in favor for this zero stuff?
Yeah, they're just changing the branding because I think the diet stuff has gotten a bad rap.
Yeah.
I mean, they are changing formulas too, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, stuff like Diet Coke will never disappear because there are people addicted to it. It won't go away.
They got the market share.
I'm noticing, like, in vending machines, like, there used to be, like, let's say two rows of Diet Coke, and now, like, you have half a row of Diet Coke and, like, an entire row of Coke Zero.
Mm.
And then in some places, you can't even find Diet anymore. It's just all Zero.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if, like they're starting to blur the lines between Diet and, like, whatever this Zero is to try and, I don't know.
As a general rule, I find I prefer the Zeros over the diets because they taste less artificial.
Yeah.
Right.
And the aspartame smear campaign that was going on.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's part of it.
Probably.
Really. It's just a new aspartame. But I have no quarrels with fake sugar.
Yeah.
And many people every time I have one, I feel like somebody comes up to me and says, "You know, that gives you cancer." And it's just like, "Okay, dude, go have your cigarette." you know, like whatever, bro. It all gives you cancer. Everything does. Okay.
Stevia,
literally everything does.
Yeah, and stevia seems to be the new hotness because apparently it's naturally occurring or plant-based or derived or something like that. So you're starting to see that pop up, but
yeah.
Stevia actually gives me a headache.
Interesting.
Really?
Yeah. My wife was baking with it for a while and I was like having constant, like chronic headaches. I'm like, what's going on? And then she stopped, whatever it was, she quit using it. And then I just was like, oh, I just realized I haven't had a headache in a while. And she made it one day and I was like, this is it, whatever is in here. And then I traced it to something else I had also been eating. And I was like, this has been 5 years ago or so. And I was like, I think stevia just gives me headaches. Yeah. I don't know why.
Damn.
Can we go back to the sweet tea thing for a second?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because this is a lesson that many a Canadian have learned when they venture into the depths of the deep unknown that is the United States of America, the dank south, as I like to call it.
The dirty south.
Because up here, all we have is iced tea, which is what you would call sweet tea. So like my wife, and I know a lot of other people who've done this, they're down in the States. and like even just down in Buffalo, and they go into like a McDonald's and they order an iced tea and they get cold brew or cold tea. And they're really surprised because they were expecting iced tea, which to us, you know, sweet tea is iced tea, but we don't have that sort of delineation. But I don't know if that's all throughout the states it's like that, but the way you guys just kind of went off, I assume that.
Pretty much.
Iced tea and sweet tea are different.
Yeah. So how would you order then just an unsweetened tea? Because if I want an unsweetened tea, I would just say like.
That is not something that is commonly available up here.
Really?
And I think that's where the difference comes from is if you order a tea, you're getting a hot tea, a hot bag tea or a steep tea or something like that. If you order an iced tea, you're getting a sweet tea. There's no, like if you wanted a cold tea, I'm sure you could get it in some places, but it's not something that's commonly available.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Our tea is much sweeter. Like I feel like the sweet tea here is like sweet. It's like sweet, sweet.
Well, man. Arizona has like a sweet tea and then they have an extra sweet tea.
Yeah, that's just too much. That's like 75% of your daily recommended amount of sugar.
No, I'd
like
say it's more than
a 16-ounce bottle.
Well, they're 32-ounce bottles sometimes.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I don't know.
Jesus.
I made that. They have those like giant, you know, they have the cans, which are huge, but then they also have like the giant round plastic jugs, which I feel like is supposed to be for a family of four.
Yeah.
For a meal or something.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll just drink them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I usually just get the regular non-sweetened iced tea if I ever get those because it's so cheap.
Yeah.
But there was one time when I was like really, really wanted. This was at this little rinky dink gas station. I was on a trip. I wanted tea for some reason. And I went in and they only had Arizona and they either had mango, which isn't even tea. It's just fruit juice. It's just a fruit drink. It's not even real fruit. Probably.
High fructose. Cure,
yeah. It's just high fructose, syrup, which is, I mean, that's fine. If I want that, I'll drink it.
Sure.
But they either had that or they had the extra sweet with the black label, which should be a warning, you know?
It should be a skull and crossbones.
So I got the extra sweet. And don't get me wrong, I enjoyed it because it was sweet.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's rich.
It wasn't tea. It was just sugar with some brown water in it.
Yeah. Yeah, they should have like a limb that's half off from the diabetes, like a warning, like in Canada with the cigarettes. Like a limb or some toes being off. I feel like that would be pretty eye-opening.
Yeah. The funny thing is if they did that kind of stuff in America, we'd all just be like, yeah, I know.
I honestly think it is kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was a thing until Dave enlightened us with the cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
And the warnings.
That's pretty much everywhere but here.
That's because that's like our cash crop. Like, why would we shit on what built this country, man?
No, you've got it wrong.
The baccy.
It's not the baccy. The baccy is a cash crop, but the king crop is healthcare.
Well, now.
Yeah. Because of the baccy, primarily.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. The great nation
America's
of sweet tea and privatized
sweet
healthcare.
Tree and cigarettes.
yummy
sounds like my weekend mornings.
It all gives you cancer, remember?
Everything living gives you cancer.
That's one in three, man, any day now.
Let's talk about some video games.
Christ.
But before we do that, if you want to hear us talk more about stupid shit, head on over to Patreon. Actually, you don't get to hear any more of us talking about it. You just get to hear it a day early and without ads. You can sign up on our Patreon for as little as $1 a month. That's like less than 25 cents an episode most months. And because of how many months, not because of how many episodes, you know, whatever. 25 cents a month or a week get you early ad-free access to the show. Patreon.com/handsomephantom. We appreciate you joining us over there. And thank you to all the fine supporters we have already. And if you are someone who, whether you want to be a patron or you don't, and you just want to help encourage us or talk about some stuff with some people, head on over to our Discord at handsomephantom.com/discord, and you can join on in with a bunch of troublemakers and laugh at Dave for some reason. There'll be a reason this week to laugh at Dave. I'm guaranteeing it.
What
right
did
now.
Somebody call Dave the other day in the Discord? Mooseman?
Mooseman.
Is this something you're happy with being known as?
Made me chuckle. I was sitting on the shitter when I saw that, and it
the moose man
that, a little. And it pushed, honestly, I pushed a little harder as a result of that. So nothing but positive came from that.
Absolutely,
that's good.
And of all the animals, it could have been worse.
That's true.
The moose is a noble creature.
Beaver boy, I wouldn't like that.
The beaver boys. Well,
Dave, you don't ever tell the internet what you don't like.
Now you're going to be beaver boy. I
inadvertently just gave you a reason to...
We're the beaver boys now.
Me, actually, so. He's doing reverse psychology. He actually loves being called beaver boy.
Oh, dude.
Let's talk about Nintendo.
If we have to. No, let's talk about this.
Okay, just some updates. We recently got numbers, and I think this was as recently as like today or yesterday. Through the end of March of this year, Nintendo Switch has sold 125.5 million units and has attached more than 1 billion pieces of software. Brandon.
Cha-ching.
As the resident Nintendo hater, tell me how infuriated this makes you. No, I'm just kidding. What do you think?
That's
like in the top tier of best consoles ever sold.
That's crazy. And, you know, in the past week, I have looked at a lot of Nintendo numbers, actually, like early numbers, like 3DS.
Yeah.
And like this kind of makes sense with the trajectory that they've had. They've had some sinkers like the Wii U over the years, but with how much video games have grown in the past 10 years, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
As long as they didn't push out another stinker like the Wii U, that numbers were probably going to be in these realms. So,
right.
As much as I like to shit on Nintendo, it just, you know, you can't argue with the empire that they've built.
Yeah.
And these are mind-bogglingly large numbers, as we've always talked about, with the attach rates nonetheless. So,
right.
Good for them, I guess. We'll be talking about it later, maybe, but you know, I'll be shilling out and buying one of their games here at the end of the week. So,
yeah, we can talk about that now.
Yeah.
But let's let Dave sound off on the sales numbers first.
I'm wondering what people are buying this thing for, like this long into the life cycle.
Mario.
Just Mario. Yeah.
Mario Kart, probably.
Like, I wonder if the movie like pumped some of those numbers.
Dude, I bet it did.
And it's like Mario Kart. That's another thing where it's just like that. So far after that game actually released, I'm talking about like the original version of that Mario Kart, still selling like hotcakes. Still makes GTA look like Redfall.
Yeah, seriously.
Just a quick note, these numbers are from before the Mario movie, for what it's worth.
That's going to pump it even more. And then we got Zelda at the end of the week, so it's...
Dude, they're going to have a huge fucking year.
Nintendo could go an entire year without having a single game launch on their platform. I'm not talking about first party. I'm talking about any game, and it would still be the best-selling console by a long shot. It's insane.
I would love to see the granular details. I bet people are still buying Animal Crossing and everything. Like, I do not doubt that one bit.
Oh, I'm sure that's the case. I think as far as hardware units, like, I know there are people who buy every special edition. Now, granted, that's a very small subset.
Yeah, it's like a niche, sure.
But let's say that's like 100,000 people.
That have three Switches.
That have three or four Switches. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And of course, they're putting out the special edition of the for the Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
There are people who are buying those. I wanted one of those, but I resisted.
Is it an OLED Switch?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think they're even manufacturing the old ones anymore.
Oh, are they? I
could be wrong on that, okay. But I'm pretty certain that they're not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, and I guess I'm excited about the game. I'll talk about what I've been playing later, but
okay.
This is the game now that I'm looking forward to, now that I've been a little bit let down.
Yeah.
In a couple different ways. So I've just kind of been waiting for something to pique my interest again. And I will say about a month or two ago, I had relatively little interest in Breath of the Wild, and they've done a pretty decent job with their ad campaigns to kind of get me back in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it is just the drought and lack thereof of interesting things to play for me, but it's probably a little bit of both. So I don't know if you guys are as excited as I am, but because there's nothing else that I am interested in, it's now becoming very exciting to me.
I'm excited. I haven't seen anything since the initial reveal. Yeah. So I'm excited, but I think that's just because I've played every Zelda game.
Right.
I just love Zelda. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why. Probably because it's one of the earliest things I remember playing.
Yeah.
So...
And I recently watched an insane world record speed run for Zelda. It was crazy.
For Breath of the Wild?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
Dave.
That kind of rehyped me.
Tears of the Kingdom. Is it happening?
Yeah, I think so. If you asked me a couple of weeks ago if I was going to be day one on this, I probably would have said no, because I was really hoping Redfall was going to be my thing. But obviously that didn't work out. And, you know, I haven't gone dark on this game. And I haven't seen a lot, but I've seen a little bit, enough to make me really be like, I really want to get lost in this game. And, you know, I've talked before how I've gotten a bit of open world fatigue. Zelda just did the open world so much different. No, it wasn't even different. They just did it so well that like you really felt like you were like exploring and discovering and not just chasing markers and stuff. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting lost into it. I have some stuff going on in my life that's going to make mobile gaming or like playing on my Switch, you know, a little bit more attractive. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to just kind of getting lost in this game. And I think it's going to run like shit, but I don't think it's going to run any worse than Breath of the Wild did. So yeah, I don't know. I don't see this game disappointing me, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm probably going to pick it up on Friday. Physical too. And my Switch is the only thing I can buy physical games on anymore. So I'm looking forward to walking to the store and walking out with a little plastic bag and a game inside. What?
So just out of curiosity, I'm pretty much physical for the most part, but what makes you decide, like, why did you decide that you want to get this one physical? Even though most of your collection is digital on Switch.
I don't know. It's probably because I can. Like, I've got a Series S and I've got a digital PS5. So, like, with those, I have to buy a digital, but so I don't get that experience of going to the store and picking out a game. So, the fact that I can do that with my Switch, I think, makes me want to do it for a game I'm really excited of. All my other Switch purchases generally are impulsive, where I'm on the eShop and I see something that's on sale. This isn't the case with this. This is like, you know, I know I'm going to get it. So rather than, you know, pre-order and download it, I'll just pick it up at the store. So, yeah.
Nice. Speaking of which, Dave, kind of on the same vein there, all the talk about a detachable PlayStation disc drive for the PS5. Does that have you at all interested as someone who has a digital one? Are you interested in getting that so you can, like, I don't know, get cheap physical games on sale or borrow them from friends? Or
if I start to see, like, just like absolute bangers pop up at like Walmart and GameStop, you know, like the bargain bins of PS5, where I have a reason to kind of pick it up. But then again, it would be backwards compatible, right? So it could theoretically play PS4 games.
Right.
Because I do kind of miss that. I miss going to like a GameStop and like looking through just the bargain bin and picking stuff out, because, you know, it's all useless to me now.
Right.
So I don't know. I think if, on first reaction, I'd probably say no, that wouldn't be something that interests me. But depending on what the price is and what it looks like attached to the PS5, I might consider that. I may actually consider that. You've got me thinking. You've got my curiosity now.
I mean, I feel like if I were you and I were all in on digital, which is a hard stretch for me, but if I were, and you told me that I could play my PS4 games, which are mostly physical, and I could, Brandon gets a game, I want to borrow it from him, whatever, I could do that. There isn't such a thing really as renting games anymore, except for like Gamefly and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think if you said like, this is $100 and now you have all these possibilities of not re-spending money on old games or getting new games cheaper. I'll talk about a game later that it's just crazy, the difference between physical and digital. But anyway,
yeah,
crazy.
No, there's a case to be made, especially I feel like the physical library. I don't know about you guys, but for me, PS4 is significantly larger.
Yeah.
So that draw alone, if I didn't have it, would definitely bring me in.
Next, let's talk about Sony a little more. Talk about the disc drive. And this is like a two-parter here. Sony has reportedly struck exclusivity deals with Konami for Metal Gear Solid 3, Silent Hill, and possibly even Castlevania. This is according to Jez Corden, and it's reported by WCCF Tech. I think Jez reported it in a tweet. It said, we've seen quite a few rumors about Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater being remade. Recently, porting studio Virtuos listed Konami as one of its clients, and VGC's Andy Robinson also mentioned the game for a 2024 release. Interestingly enough, earlier today, more rumors popped up about the remake being made, this time coming from Xbox Era's, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, from Xbox Era podcast and Windows Central Jess Corden. In the most recent episode of the Xbox Era podcast, they said that although the source isn't entirely sure, the Snake Eater remake could make its appearance during the rumored PlayStation showcase and is said to have some sort of PlayStation exclusivity, but no further details were shared. And then after that, Jess Corden also said that he had heard similar rumors. And then they've also said that they're also looking at Silent Hill and maybe even at Castlevania. Not sure who's working on it for sure, but... And then that goes into the possibility of a PlayStation showcase rumor scheduled for late May, potentially. It could be as soon as this month. It could also be not until the summer game showcase time period, etc. So we will see. Dave, I want to get your take on, first of all, the possibility of Metal Gear Solid 3 and the other games as well, whether we need those remakes, whether we want them, etc. And then also, I don't know, let's just play around with the PlayStation Showcase.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not crazy about this. I think, you know, we've got a lot of remakes, and they're sort of the least imaginative way to make money.
Yeah.
But they are proven ways to make money, so it's not surprising that, you know, they keep going back to the well. It's also not surprising because, like, Konami can't really do anything with a Metal Gear Solid IP because Kojima's not there anymore, and we all know it probably wouldn't be what it needs to be. I also didn't really like Snake Eater. I was a really, really big Metal Gear Solid fan back then too, and Snake Eater really disappointed me. I would love to see Metal Gear Solid 2 remade, but I know that, you know, wasn't the most popular one. It was a little bit polarizing. I'm not surprised to hear this news. I'm not super excited about it. One, because it's not my favorite game, and two, it's another remake. I'd love to see more Metal Gear, but I also understand that's just not possible. Silent Hill, on the other hand, if we're gonna get more of that, whether it be remakes or new games, I think that's cool. Because I've said it before, I said it with Dead Space. Like, I think the one thing that really does well in remakes is horror games, because if you have those jump scares can kind of replicate the fear if it happens in like a new generation with new technology and stuff like that. I'd like to see where they go with this, and it being on PlayStation exclusively, if that's the case, kind of just feels right on PlayStation. I remember when, you know, Metal Gear Solid 1 was exclusive on PlayStation, and then Metal Gear Solid Sons of Liberty was for a while, and then we got, like, Substance on Xbox. I think MGS3 Snake Eater, I can't recall if that was exclusive too, but there's certain things that just feel right on PlayStation and feel kind of odd on Xbox. So I think Silent Hill and Metal Gear Solid are two of those, so that feels kind of right, exclusivity, but we'll see what happens.
Dave, what about a Castlevania? How can you not want a new Castlevania?
Didn't they try to, like, this was last generation, they tried to do like an action, like it was like a hack and slash Castlevania. It was like Lord of Shadow or something like that.
That was 360 generation, I think.
360,
I think. And maybe it was also on, there were two of them, I think. Lords of Shadow and Lords of Fallen, something like that. Yeah. And maybe one was on PS4. Xbox One generation, I don't remember, but definitely on the 360, I know for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, we've had like spiritual kind of successors to like the OG Castlevania with like Symphony of the Night, or not, you know what I'm talking about, the one that wasn't a Castlevania game, but it was pretty much a Castlevania game.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
Blood,
I know exactly.
Something of Blood, Symphony of Blood or something like that.
I think you're mixing up Rondo of Blood and...
Yeah,
I don't know.
That would be cool to see, like a proper like 2D with Castlevania game with like really, like, I'm thinking like Metroid Dread, but obviously Castlevania. We haven't seen something like that for a long time, I don't think. So that would be cool if they try to modernize it and make it something else. I don't know that it would hit for me, but yeah, I mean, why not? Let's get some more Castlevania. It's been too long.
Brandon, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't have much experience with either one of, well, any of them, all three of them. I'm most intrigued by Silent Hill. I've seen things of the past games, and I feel like it's a game that has kind of been dark for a while.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see something new. Not thrilled, but not surprised about these remakes.
Yeah.
Especially with things like the Resident Evil remakes doing so well. Not that it's exactly the same as a Metal Gear Solid game, but it shows the potential and how much money can be made from refreshes to games, even if they're, you know, substantial or otherwise. It seems they just pour in money. So Silent Hill sounds cool, and I would be interested in seeing some more Castlevania. I've been a passing fan of that for a while. Never really jumped in, but would love to see some new ideas thrown in.
Yeah.
And, you know, with legendary series, like all three of these, I feel like it's a fine line to walk. But I'm hoping at least one of them can, you know, break some new ground somewhere. And we're not just going to get three new remakes. So you never know. I mean, financially, it probably makes the most sense for them to do three remakes out of all of these. But
yeah,
I would love to see something new. I mean, these IPs are obviously legendary. All three of them have their own merit. But yeah, we'll see. And it does feel right on PlayStation. So, you know, not that I'm ever cheering for exclusivity, but this isn't like surprising.
But this is real life.
Yeah, it isn't like surprising to me. So,
if you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
On that topic of the showcase, specifically, there is a sticker on this microphone.
Oh,
I didn't
shit.
Know it was here before. I just touched it by accident. And maybe it's been here for years, for all I know. I don't know. You guys have it. I didn't give you guys time to think about this. I made a video on this and put it out today, so I have it on my mind. But I just want, like, if everybody has, I don't know, a prediction or a hope for a possible showcase. And I'll go ahead and go first to give you guys a couple minutes to think. I think one thing that we're probably going to see, I hope that we see, and also I think it's likely, is more information and a release date for Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Because we got some leaks recently from voice actors that the game was coming probably in September. So like now that that's kind of almost basically confirmed, or maybe they want to dispel that. I don't know. I think that PlayStation would probably put out when that's going to come. And then also like, it's just time. Like that's, I know that with God of War, they didn't reveal anything too deep about it until very late into the cycle. But I think that, I think that Sony just has been quiet for so long, and now that they had a big win with the CMA and everything, you know, we may see them talk a little bit more. But do either of you guys, I don't want to put you directly on the spot.
No.
Do either of you have any predictions or hopes?
This is like off the wall, but with the latest rumblings, and I guess it's more than rumblings, it's like confirmed, the Twisted Metal show coming out.
Oh,
I would love to see them revitalize this IP, even in a small way.
I think there was somebody working on a new one,
even if it was budget, let's say $25-$30.
Yeah,
I feel like with the way that multiplayer games work now, not that I want it to be a battle pass skin hell, but I would be interested to see what Twisted Metal has to offer.
Yeah.
In a 2023, 2024 timeline, because I feel like those were some of the coolest games when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. They do not hold up as well as I thought. No. I bought Twisted Metal Black for the PS4 and I was like, this game is not only incredibly fucking hard. How did I ever play this as a child and do anything at all other than die?
Right.
And it's kind of out there, but especially with the show, you know, getting screenshots from the show and stuff.
Sure.
I would love for them to do something with Twisted Metal. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm trying to think of something else, but that was like my big one that just came out of nowhere. I was like, man, it was such a legendary IP for like so many years, way, way, way back. And then it completely, completely just absolutely fizzled out. Yeah. So
that's a good one. I wish I had thought of that because I do put a lot of emphasis. I don't personally, but I think Sony puts a lot of emphasis on their multimedia stuff right now, like specifically with Sony Pictures.
Yeah.
So I think that anything that can tie in, they're going to start pushing. Whether they do that before the show or releases, before the show or after it releases, I don't know. But Dave, what about you? You got a prediction for the showcase or a hope, a wish?
Yeah, I don't have any predictions. I would agree with you. I think we'll see something Spider-Man related. Because I don't know if we're gonna get any more showcases between now and sort of September.
Right.
Other than Summer Games Fest. But hopes. I would love to hear something from Bungie. Mm, I know it's probably way too early to get into that, but you never know. Sure. It would be cool to see, you know, what comes of that relationship. I would love to see SOCOM make an appearance. I know that's also wishful thinking, but I really, really, really miss that franchise. I think Sony could use a shooter, and the iron's hot right now with Microsoft's fuck up, so why not? And then the third thing I would love to see is what's next from Housemarque. I don't know if we're gonna see some Returnal DLC or if we're going to get like a close look at, or, you know, even a teaser of what's next from them or what they're planning. But this is a developer that Sony owns now, so I'm sure they want to get them back to work on making something new. I'm sure their development team has grown somewhat since one, Returnal's launched, and two, since their acquisition. So those are three things that I think would be cool to see. But Twisted Metal would be cool. Anything new? Again, let's thank Sony. We've got all the remakes we need, but show me something new and something cool.
Well, also speaking of, I predicted this maybe for the last Sony showcase, and maybe I don't know if it'll be Summer Game Fest. We still don't know much about The Last of Us multiplayer.
Yeah, that was I did that. Like, I talked about that.
Like
video,
I too. Feel yeah. like it would make so much sense off of the wind from the show to just absolutely, you know, fill the sails of the entire franchise, of the entire IP. So I feel like I was expecting it earlier. Yeah. Now that the show's over, I mean, not all of the heat has died down. Clearly, it's still being talked about. But I think it would make sense to do it this year.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of hopeful.
Well, Neil Druckmann said in the HBO podcast, I think it was in the HBO podcast, that we could expect to hear more later this year. Well, so there aren't really many other times.
Yeah, there's like,
you know, like big time. They could do a state of play easily.
True.
And PlayStation shows no aversion to just casually announcing something on their blog and knowing everyone's going to find out about it.
Right.
But that's like their big studio. Right. You know? I don't even know if I think they're the best studio, but they're certainly one of the best.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe if they actually announce a showcase, maybe we can actually plan to do like a list of five predictions each or something like that for a future show.
Sure.
Although knowing Sony, they'll probably announce it and have it the next day. So we may not get a chance, but we can talk about it later on for sure. Dave brought up Microsoft and I just have to bring up some more Microsoft. Kind of. We'll talk about Redfall briefly here. But TwistedVoxel.com says that Starfield has been rated M by the ESRB, and it says it features violence and use of drugs. Quote, Microsoft and Bethesda Softworks upcoming action role-playing game Starfield has been rated M by the Entertainment Software Rating Board. According to the promotional material for the upcoming Starfield Direct, the game has been rated mature 17+ by the ESRB. Full details regarding the rating aren't yet available, as the game's rating page isn't yet available on the board's official site, though key points highlighted in the promotion include violence, blood, suggestive themes, strong language, and use of drugs. I've always wondered, what does suggestive themes mean? Is it suggesting you play nice with your friends or that you murder them? You know,
it's like a bulge. It's kind of suggesting there's a cock and balls behind it.
Okay. Yeah, I get that.
You know what I mean?
According to the ESRB ratings guide, games that receive an M rating contain content that is generally suitable for ages 17 and above. They may contain intense violence, blood and gore, sexual content, and or strong language. In comparison, Bethesda Softworks' previous game, Fallout 76, has also received an M rating over blood, gore, drug reference, intense violence, and strong language. The Australian Classification Board had given Starfield a restricted rating, and the listing also stated in addition that it would feature interactive use of drugs. There's a lot more here, but Dave, I want to know what your thoughts are on Starfield. We probably already knew this game was going to be rated M for some reason or another, but are you excited to see a mature rated release from Bethesda? Not that that's a new thing once again for them, but for this game specifically, it kind of looks, you know, other than the violence, it kind of looks a little milquetoast, but maybe there's a little more something to it.
Yeah, it's going to be such a big game that I think they had to leave a lot of room for somebody somewhere in the game is going to say fuck or tits or something. Yeah. You got to have an M rating for that.
Do you have to have an M for tits?
I don't know. We'll have to research that. But yeah. Somebody's going to refer to some space drugs. Like if you look at like Netflix, like ratings, like when something says like this has been rating for this for like smoking, and like somewhere in the background is smoking a cigarette or refers to smoking or something, like any little mention of something like this is going to flag that. So again, it's such a big game. I'm sure there's like some piece of dialogue somewhere that, you know, would trigger an M rating. So probably makes sense. But yeah, I'd be more interested if this came out with a teen rating because, there's a lot of violence in these games. And I guess the question is Starfield going to be Bethesda's most violent game when you hold it up against like, you know, Fallout and Elder Scrolls and stuff like that? Because
Doom?
I mean
more, studios.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, more in that vein of game.
Okay, I got you.
Nothing's more violent than Doom except Postal. But
there's no titties in Doom, but you know
there should be.
It's not surprising.
There could be.
Yeah.
Now this is good. I was really pleased to hear this because I didn't want it to be a mass appeal thing, and not that an M rating doesn't appeal to most of the masses, but I just hate things being turned vanilla just for the sake of it selling more copies to children.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have made sense from Bethesda to do this sort of thing, I don't think, but many studios that have acted in ways that I assume they would don't do that pretty often nowadays. So,
right.
I mean, this is good. And, you know, they had two shots and they fucked up the one pretty bad. So let's cross our fingers that Microsoft can kind of, you know, sneak out one good one this year.
Well, speaking of the other one of those, got a rumor here. Again, I don't really put a lot of stock in rumors or anything, but according to Twisted Voxel, which is a decent website that reports genuine things most of the time, it said Microsoft reportedly knew Redfall would be a disaster a month before launch. Quote, speaking in the latest episode of The Last of the Nintendogs, Jeff Grubb, who is known for his connections in the game industry, stated that one such connection at Microsoft told him that Redfall was going to be a disaster. Grubb thought it best to wait till the game's launch to decide whether this would be the case. However, in retrospect, he felt that he should have had more faith in his source. He recalled that the source knew what he was talking about. Given that the information was coming from the Microsoft side, it meant they were aware that Redfall was in a rough state. Grubb further stated that the way things work at Microsoft is they don't change anything and let the studios continue doing what they're doing and barely interfere at all. He further clarified that this means that Microsoft barely manages the studios at all. Yada, 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 yada. Jez Corden from Windows Central stated with certainty that Microsoft had no involvement in the decision or delay to release Redfall. Microsoft denied a Redfall. He said, according to him, rumors denied. Let me start over. According to him, rumors that Microsoft denied Redfall a delay are mere lies. He added that Microsoft and ZeniMax are still operating with limited integration, et cetera, et cetera. So, I don't know. I just kind of wanted to give another shot to talk about Redfall. And Brandon, I think you'll have that in the What You've Been Playing section here as well.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to... I don't always buy into everything that that Jeff says.
Sure.
Specifically.
Sure.
But he does know a lot of people and he talks to a lot of them.
Right.
What do you think the implication is if they knew, whether it was Microsoft or whether it was specifically Arcane or whatever,
right,
if they knew that the game was going to be a disaster and still released it?
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously this is a rumor. I find it very interesting that supposedly, according to this, that Microsoft has very they don't strong hand their developers is kind of what this article is putting forward.
And by the way, we can lead into the Phil Spencer interview here that I know you wanted to talk about.
Sure.
Because Phil specifically said they didn't get involved with it.
Right. Which I feel like is very interesting and not a point to gloss over. I feel like most of the time, that's exactly what you want. And that's what, you know, as a game developer, I feel like mostly that would be a good thing. Mm-hmm. But in this scenario, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, like, for everybody involved, part of me wishes that Microsoft maybe would have stepped in at some point and said, hey, 6 month delay, you know, or something. So, you know, obviously that's a double-edged sword there. But, you know, to imply that Microsoft knew this and still didn't step in is very weird to me. I think it's very weird that they seemingly have marketed this game almost more than any other game that I remember almost ever seeing marketed
in a long time.
I mean, I see it fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
Literally. I hear it on podcasts that I've never heard video game ads on before. Just Redfall ads, not Xbox ads, Redfall ads. And it's just, it's very strange if this rumor is to be believed, that they would say nothing.
Yeah.
And somebody had to have known.
Sure.
I mean, like, reasonably, whether or not this is true or not, like, somebody at Microsoft has to have seen the progress leading up to launch and known that there were probably going to be some issues. And this isn't just one or two things we're talking about. I mean, you know, it's paramount to the entire game's success, you know, the shortcomings that this title has.
Yeah.
So,
Dave, did you get a chance to watch the interview with Phil Spencer that Kinda Funny did?
No, I saw the I'm familiar with it. I've seen the highlights and stuff.
Okay. Well, for both of you then, the questions are, I mean, I just wanted to get your impressions on what he had to say there. The thing that was most interesting to me, and I watched it twice. I watched it when it came out. Or I saw the clip. I was like, well, I need to see more context.
Right.
I watched the whole interview from start to finish. And then I was on the Iron Lords podcast this week, and they were going to be talking about it. So I watched it again that morning just so I'd be fresh again. And the thing that was most interesting to me is that, you know, he talked about how they should have stepped in earlier and should have given more support and should have given more guidance, but how that, you know, kind of contradicts with their general outlook on games. And I don't know how you fix that. Like, I guess you have like a benevolent dictatorship at some point.
So you let the studio shoot themselves in the foot, and then even though your name's attached to it, you take no responsibility?
Yeah, I mean,
What I mean?
In like, some fairness, the game started development long before they were acquired.
Well, still.
But the game didn't come out before they were acquired, so it's on Microsoft's head, in my opinion.
Exactly. Now, the interview was very interesting, especially from someone as obviously affluent in the games industry and, you know, obviously the head of the snake here, so to speak.
Yeah.
But
he literally ate the snake. The snake literally had its own tail in this.
But
game.
What confuses me about this is, did he not say in that interview that in internal mock reviews they had this double digits higher than what it actually came out as?
He did say that. Yeah.
So this is Jeff Grubb's report is completely contrary to that, is it not?
I mean, it's a 58 right now, so 10 digits higher is still a 68. So
I wouldn't So let's call it a 70, and we sure. all know what a 70 is in the gaming industry. It's just fine. I wouldn't call that a disaster. So
yeah,
I don't know. One's a rumor and one is coming from Phil Spencer.
Right.
He's the figurehead. He's got to look good. And I think it takes a lot of balls for him to come out and do what he did and do that interview. And he knew exactly what he was doing by doing that. And that's, say what you will about Microsoft and how little they've delivered, but they've got a guy like Phil Spencer, who, you know, is universally liked across the industry. But at the end of the day, I think there's probably numbers to show somewhere that, like, and Skull and Bones is going to come to this point too at some point in the near future, where it's cheaper to release a broken game than to keep feeding it money. And when you have as much marketing pumped into something like Redfall, I suspect it just got to that point where it was like, we need to get this game out now. Redfall was in a position where, regardless of what happened, it got everybody's attention for an entire week. Yeah. And I guarantee you that Xbox Game Pass subscription spiked.
And
there will be positives from that. So I think, like, we've seen it with so many other games. We're seeing it with Battlefield right now. We've seen it with, like, Destiny and stuff, where it's like, we're in an age where you can release a shit game and you can you know, have like a skeleton crew work on it for, you know, another year or 16 months, and you're going to continue to see revenue for a long time. So I suspect it may have been a situation like that. But it's just so weird, like, having these reports from Jeff Grubb, and then we literally have the exact opposite coming from Phil Spencer. I don't know how much more we're going to hear about this, but that approach is really, really interesting of Microsoft intentionally being hands-off and sort of having that servant leadership approach. But how is that going to change going forward? Because, like, this is a heavy investment in Redfall that's gone completely wrong. Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I wonder if Phil Spencer showed up at Todd Howard's door, like, last week and said, I'm working here now. We can't fuck this up.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's also a lot of people gave him shit for it, for probably some good reasons and some bad reasons, but I feel like it's a very rare and very almost transparent moment for someone that is that much in power of such a large enterprise. So, you know, like Dave said, mad respect for Phil for having that hard conversation and for being what seemed to be surprisingly honest about some things that could have easily been a talking head moment for Microsoft. Like, 9 times out of 10, anybody in his position would just be a figurehead for the company. And I feel like it was actually a very real moment in a lot of ways, a very real interview, you know, for better or worse. I'm even critical of some of the things he said, but I feel like I respect the
fact
guy.
That he was willing to say them.
Respect.
So. It kind of bothered me that, you know, as a fan of all video games and all the makers, I was a little bit irritated. I think that the way he said his comments were intended, but at one point he said something along the lines of, you know, even if Starfield comes out and that's 11 out of 10, that doesn't mean people are going to go out and sell their PS5s, and making good games isn't going to make people switch over. And I know what he means by that, but my point is, if you don't make good games, then they definitely, I'm not asking them to switch over, then they definitely won't buy your console or subscribe to your service or do any of the things that you're doing. And just having that we're in third place mentality, even if it's true, and voicing that seems really dangerous to me.
Yeah.
That sets a tone at your studios.
Yeah.
That, okay, well, it doesn't matter how hard we work, our brand's never going to be in the lead.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm being a little naive in thinking that the studios care about how Microsoft does in general. But I think that at least some of them do, at least the heads of the studios do, because, you know, their whole studio is dependent upon the mothership, right?
They're getting their checks cut. So.
Yeah, but I think it was a very honest and transparent. And I got direct confirmation from Paris when I was on the ILP podcast. He was in chat, and it was definitely him who said that Microsoft did not prohibit them or prevent them or even screen any of the questions they were asking. And I think that takes major balls for Phil, and I guess for the PR team to be able to do that as well. I mean, he doesn't seem like somebody who needs to who needs to be babied. He kind of is. I mean, he's good on his feet, even if I don't always think what he says is the best thing.
Yeah, he's definitely well-spoken.
Yeah.
And to be able to take questions that weren't fed to you beforehand. Like literally everything that we ever view is nowadays.
Yep.
Does take a lot of balls. So. Yeah.
One more news article here. Oh no, I just got a message. What is this?
It's Phil.
It's Phil.
Phil Spencer.
Phil just he's listening. This isn't even live, and he's listening and sent me a message and said, "Thanks, bro. You were a real one."
Jim said, "Stop fucking talking to that guy."
Weird.
Jim Ryan.
So weird. As it turns out, according to gossipslife.com and some other websites as well, Nintendo Switch is no longer in the cards for Firaxis' Marvel game. Marvel's Midnight Suns is still coming to PS4 and Xbox One, but its Nintendo Switch version has been sunset. Developer Firaxis revealed the Switch version of the game is no longer planned after it was originally announced for the handheld, then delayed last year alongside other last-gen versions. Canceling previously announced console versions of a game doesn't always happen, and doing so can result in lost sales, obviously. For Midnight Suns in particular, it hits even harder since it feels tailor-made for the console. The news comes ahead of the last-gen release on May 11th and the game's newly released DLC featuring the popular X-Men character Storm. Both the PS4 and Xbox One versions will be released only on their respective digital marketplaces. Other Firaxis games like Civ 6 and XCOM 2 both receive Switch versions years after their initial releases. The cancellation of Midnight Suns for the system again raises questions about how well it's sold since December 22 release and what threshold was to make a Switch version viable to start with. We know that Midnight Suns has not performed really well. I really wanted to talk about, I guess, how this relates to the Switch, but I also wanted to say, I really, 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 ever since it came out, I've wanted to play Midnight Suns. And I didn't get it right when it launched because I just had too much else to play. And it was going into holiday season. And that's also a really busy work time for me. And I just didn't play it. And now I've started to see it for like $25-$30, and I want to play it on Steam specifically.
Did you should get it?
I started to see it for like $25-$30, but one time I saw it for $20 and I missed the deal. And now I'm like, I don't care if it's $25.
I want it for 20.
I want it for 20.
Yeah.
And then I also look at like the Legendary Edition because it's got all the DLC and everything, and I kind of want that. But at this point, I'm just like, I want it. I actually have time to play it. But that $5 difference, even though it would mean nothing in my life, well, maybe something, but very little in my life, I'm like, I can't justify it. Since I know the game will dip down to 20 again.
Yeah. No, I played like, I'm a fan of XCOM.
Yeah.
Not a huge fan, but definitely a fan. And I thought this game was pretty cool. It was kind of campy.
Did you play it?
Yeah. I played the whole intro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I didn't play all of it. I didn't play all of it. I did not play all of it, but I tried it.
Do you have it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I game shared it with somebody.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But they were like, hey, check out this game. I got it. And so I, you know, I sat with them and streamed, did the controller passing on PlayStation. Yeah. But was surprisingly fun. I thought it was going to be complete ass. But I thought it was kind of cool. Obviously, it's very cheesy in the way that the Marvel Avengers game was. Yeah, not so bad. I guess I'm not surprised that it's not coming to Switch if it's not doing well at all. I don't think it makes sense to waste money on that. But I don't think it should come to last-gen console at all.
Yeah.
So,
Dave, as the resident AAA game enjoyer on the Switch, what think you?
Yeah, I think, you know, technically this game just wasn't up to snuff for the Switch. There are certain standards that need to be met for Switch. Think, you know, God of War and stuff like that. That ilk of game, you need to be up there technically to make it onto the Switch. So this didn't. it's disappointing because I'm with you, Ben. I really want to play this game, and I just actually wishlisted it on the PlayStation app so I can see when it goes on sale.
Yeah,
because I don't know if it's a $90 game for me. It's probably going to go on sale a lot. But I think the Switch would be really good for this kind of game. I'm not a huge like XCOM guy, but you know, just knowing what the game is like, and like the other half of the game is like this relationship building thing that you actually do with the other heroes,
right?
And I think that would be like something that would be nice on the Switch. It would be something that would be nice to take on the go and play on the bus or whatever. So yeah, it's a little disappointing because I for me, this is something that would really appeal to me on the Switch. But I'm with you, Ben. I really want to play this game. It's high up there in my backlog.
Dave, this is the game I was going to bring up about the physical and digital conversation. This game is still $70 on the PlayStation Store, and obviously much higher dollar amount in Canada. And I have seen this game regularly, very regularly, physically available on PS5 for $30. And I'm like, this is one of those justifications for me, even though I want to play it on Steam specifically, but this is one of those justifications for me that I'm like, yeah, physical is the way for me still. I don't know. Obviously, it's not always the way, but when things like this happen and the games are definitely cheaper much earlier physically than they are digitally, I'm like, yeah, I made the right choice.
Yeah.
So anyway, Dave, all I was trying to say is that you should get a disc drive.
Yeah. Loud and clear.
Boys, let's talk about what games we've been playing. I'm going to go first because mine is really super boring this week. The only things I have played are Loop Hero and Sea of Thieves, and I have talked about both of them extensively on the show. So I don't have anything new. I was very busy. I had to go away to do some deliveries for something. It's a whole thing. But yeah, I haven't played much. But Dave, what have you been playing?
I played a little bit of Halo Infinite this week.
Okay.
Whoa. I jumped into the multiplayer and I played some Halo Infinite, checked out some of the new maps. I can't tell you what they're called because I don't remember.
Sure.
Yeah.
Rust.
Halo's fun.
Yeah.
Halo's fun to jump into every now and then. It has, although, been a year and a half since launch, and I still think it's weird. So matches in Halo, I think, are just inherently short, unless you're playing big team battle. I just think the way the game is set up, that matches do not last that long. I don't think they're that much longer than like a Call of Duty match, but they're short. They're supposed to be.
Sure.
However, I think like the split of like that ratio of time you spend waiting for the game to start and time you spend in the game should be like around 80-20. In Halo, this is like a year and a half since launch. It still feels closer to 60-40. Like, I don't know why that menu screen takes so long.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just me. I don't think it is because, you know, I'm playing Call of Duty, you know, in the same house on the same Wi-Fi network, and I'm getting games really quick. But yeah, that was kind of annoying. And I remember kind of noting that like at launch, and it still seems to be a thing, but yeah, in any case, if you've got your Xbox hooked up and you're thinking about jumping into Halo, it's still fun. It hasn't really evolved too much, but it's still pretty fun. Aside from that, I've been playing Subnautica.
Yes.
You both were talking about this game a little while ago. Brandon, I know you've played quite a bit, and Ben, you've played a little bit.
Yep.
I talked last week about how I had checked out Valheim, and I'm really kind of gaining more interest into these survival type games.
Yes, join the dark side.
Subnautica is a really good one. I've been playing it on Steam. It does like swimming and water so well, which it has to because it's like almost entirely based underwater.
yeah.
But yeah, it's cool. It's just like a discovery game. And, you know, I mentioned how, you know, I had that open world fatigue. So it's kind of nice to like play a game where like exploration and discovery is entirely based on you and your risk tolerances and not chasing menu icons and stuff. And it's like, if you want to go figure out how to craft something new, you just got to go search and see what you find and kind of overcome that fear of running out of oxygen or whatever. It's kind of nice in Subnautica because like when you die, you just kind of respawn. Valheim, it was a little bit more difficult, like there was kind of a permadeath light thing in there. But no, I'm enjoying Subnautica. It's a really cool game. It does resource collection and crafting and stuff like that really well, and you get what you put into it. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. If it was only like $13 or something on Steam, it's one of those games that seems to always be on sale. So if you're interested in this kind of game, I would definitely suggest checking it out because it's a really, really cool game.
Nice. And your computer runs it all right still?
Yeah, my computer's fine for stuff like that.
Yeah, so nice.
The minimum suck on that, even on like I feel like it's not very intensive.
Yeah, it's a little
bit
of an older game. Yeah. And even though it's like a huge open world, I think it just does well at rendering everything in at different rates. But with all that water, you never know how it's going to perform.
Well, it's just the game does fog.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that is the how it runs so well is like the you can't see very far on purpose.
Yeah, it's just not rendering in chunks of everything.
Yeah.
Until you need it to.
Yeah.
Brandon, what about you?
Sad to say that I've been playing more Redfall
this
past week.
I knew it specifically because I saw the Xbox game bar that you were playing.
Yeah. So I really keep trying this game and I'm desperately trying to grasp some semblance of a cohesiveness in this game, like some picture that I'm missing in the game. But just flat out, it's bad, boys.
What? Let me just ask this, though. Why the insistence? You know it's bad. Wait till there's like a decent patch, maybe.
I know. It's because I, as I mentioned earlier, nothing else is really grabbing my interest.
Right.
And I'm an absolute whore for first-person shooters, especially now that I got mouse and keyboard.
Right.
It's very satisfying for me to hone my M&K.
Yeah.
For a first-person shooter specifically. And, you know, you say, Brandon, play Call of Duty. I've done almost everything I could possibly do in Call of Duty multiplayer.
Right.
And that's why I was playing Battlefield for a little bit, which I probably actually am going to get back into this week until Tears comes out. But yeah, go over if you really want to know how bad it truly is, because some of the stuff that I was viewing, I couldn't like quantify. I couldn't describe what I was feeling at all times and what I was looking at, but I knew it was bad. Please just go watch the Digital Foundry video. It will open your eyes to just how much of an insane technical clusterfuck this entire game is. I really do think that it is going to be a long time before this sort of thing is remedied.
Yeah.
And just to see the technical extent of how bad it truly is, the things that I was feeling, including just issues with the engine it's built in, period, I think they're going to struggle for a long time to even make this game suitable for most high-end PCs. Just kind of disappointing. I've just been wanting to play something PvE and just turn off my brain and relax. And I guess that's done the trick.
Sure.
But at what extent?
At what cost?
Yeah.
Is really the question.
At what cost? Exactly. Yeah. So honestly, that's kind of all I've been playing. I've been popping in and out of playing games here for a couple days because nothing has been tickling my fancy.
Ooh.
But I really am just waiting for the next big thing. So who knows?
Yeah.
I'll probably pop back into 2042. I really wish more people would try that game now because I feel like it does actually feel way more realized and the gunplay feels pretty good. It feels as close to what I remember Battlefield 4 feeling like. So
yeah. My problem with Battlefield, the last couple Battlefields, has just been that I used to love the big team battles and like being the whole way across the map. And now I spawn in and get shot in the head before I can move.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
yeah, no, I get that. They also have Team D now, which is really nice.
Okay.
Smaller maps. Yeah. So it's kind of cool. There's a lot of variation. I'm always in
for some D, you know.
Ooh. That and our... I don't know if I mentioned it, but they have complete bot lobbies. And as a bot myself, it just it inflates my ego so much.
Sure.
Like I don't even care if I'm ass.
Right.
Just period. Just complete dog shit. It feels so good to drop 40 kills when I typically drop like 10 in a game. And I don't even care if they're shooting at me and missing and I'm standing right in front of them. It feels good.
Stormtroopers.
It feels good.
Yeah.
So that's about it. Probably pretty much done with Redfall, to be honest with you, because even what I've continued to play it, and I think there was...
Quantify that for me. How much more have you continued to play it?
I mean, I've played probably 3 multi-hour sessions.
Wow.
Since the
You're strong.
I've probably played like between 4 and 5 more hours than you guys have.
Oh, yeah. They say it really kicks off at the 6th hour there.
And like... I'm right before like one of the big first boss encounters.
Yeah.
And so I was considering getting to that to see how I felt, but I have felt the same the entire way through. And I've continued to have a lot of the problems.
From what I understand, the game is only about 12 hours long.
Okay. So yeah, it is what it is. It's a completely perplexing situation that we talked about last week. So I'm not going to dig back into
it. Sure, yeah.
But
I have the inclination to mock you for continuing to play Redfall.
No, please.
But the reality is you're the strongest one of all of us.
I know. I'm the only one
who put up with this much torture.
I know.
I tried. So after we played last week, I think the next day I turned it on. I loaded into the game and I just stared at my screen for about 45 seconds. And then I just turned my Xbox off and I canceled my Game Pass. I just think about Game Pass is you can cancel mid-subscription and get a refund.
No shit.
Really?
Yeah. Had to send a message to Microsoft for that one. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've always just like, well, not for Game Pass. I've never canceled it, but.
Sorry, I meant like metaphorically I was sending a message to them. You can just do it on your account. Yeah.
Most of the time when you cancel a subscription, it's like, okay, well, your subscription's good till the end of your subscription. But I didn't realize you'd get a refund.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you two are not real gamers if you've not played at least 10 hours of Redfall.
You can't talk about how good or bad the game is because you haven't beat it yet. You haven't put 13 and a half hours into it. Like, I actually got that message this week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm like, I played between 4 and 5 hours of it and immediately deleted it. That was enough. If you can't decide if a game is for you after an hour, a multiplayer game.
Right.
Specifically.
Right.
I understand there are other games that don't pick up till an hour or two and whatever. If 5 hours is not enough time to justify whether or not I think the game is for me, especially when my complaint is that it's broken and boring, then another 5 hours isn't going to do the trick.
I think it's because you didn't play it on the hardest difficulty on a Series S.
Damn, you're
specifically.
Right. You're right.
I think that was probably it.
Well, at least you got to keep all your progression.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just really grateful. I go in and log in tonight and I'm back to zero.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's about it, man.
All right.
Better things to come next week.
Yes.
I will be excited. And it sounds like we're all gonna get it. So
yeah, I'm hoping mine comes pretty close to release date. I pre-ordered it back when it was still $60 on GameStop, and I did that specifically because there were rumors of it gonna be 70. Yeah. So I think they're honoring it.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and beat it by
some people had it on Monday.
Oh, no shit.
Pre-orders.
I'm going to try and beat it by Tuesday. So
you're going to beat it by Tuesday?
No, I'm just kidding.
It's impressive. I think I spent 150 hours in one playthrough on Breath of the Wild.
I'm trolling.
So. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Go sign up on the Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Patreon.com/HandsomePhantom. And join the Discord over at HandsomePhantom.com/Discord. We appreciate you. We will talk to you next week. Thank you and good night. Goodbye.
The HP Podcast is brought to you by our patrons over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. Thanks to our producers, Grabalicious, Christian Snow, Rainick, Chris Bialock, Derek O, Nuke Dukem, Brian Parrott, H-Trons, Maurice Bays, Passive Pixels Edwin Castillo, Boots, Poot, Jared, Josh Cummings, Edward Walton, Charles Peterson, Toby Ryland, Wormhat.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.